All right, Syracuse basketball has a top 10 recruiting class in 2022. Chris Bunch has committed. We'll talk about him on the pod today. Also, kind of a breaking article from Nate Mink at Syracuse.com on Tommy DeVito. A lot to get to from that article. We'll also make our picks for the Virginia Tech game, get you to Bundo's Digits and the Prop Shot picks as well. It's all coming up on the Locked On Syracuse podcast.
You are Locked On Syracuse, your daily podcast on the Syracuse Orange. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in and thanks for making Locked On Syracuse your first listen every single weekday. Today's episode of Locked On Syracuse is brought to you by McDonald's, a new sponsor here on the pod, proudly serving communities since 1965. McDonald's has always been more than just a place to get tasty, affordable food. It's an unofficial community center. A big thank you to our friends at McDonald's for always being there. I'm loving it. So a lot to get to.
It'll make us do the jingle, the ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Well, you can do it. You want to take the wheel there?
You know our buddy Jack McMullen? His uncle played in a band with the guy who came up with the
really?
Like the keystroke. I don't, that's not the right terminology for it.
Sure.
But the guitar strokes for it. His uncle played in a band with that guy.
Holy cow. How about that?
He didn't take royalties, though. I think it was like
really?
it's the age old question of lump sum or you pay it out along the way. And I don't think he took the royalties for it. I think he kind of botched there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that probably backfired, I would have to guess, given the McDonald's is still kicking since 1965. But all right, Chris Bunch picks Syracuse. So much to get to. We'll just try and keep it as concise as we possibly can today on the show. But big win for the Orange. This is now their highest rated recruit in this 2022 class. As I said earlier, they're up to 10th in the 24/7 sports class rankings right now, fourth in the ACC rankings as it stands right now. They've got their full starting five, all five positions covered. You'd assume this is where the class ends, but they did get to five guys, which I thought they would. And Chris Bunch is probably the best player of the five. So really excited that he picked SU.
And when you look at recruiting rankings, for those that really dive into recruiting rankings, I think they're a little more pertinent in basketball than they are in football just because there's so many different football positions. But when you look at Syracuse's guys in the class, most guys have been trending down. Chris Bunch is one of the guys that's actually been trending up along the way. Like we've seen
he got
Justin
up to
Taylor
58
drop
at one point. Too, yeah. So, and then he dropped back down. But yeah.
So there is a lot of positivity and optimism surrounding Chris Bunch. And I know the other day I was pessimistic about the five-man class, but that doesn't mean I was pessimistic about Chris Bunch. I think I laid it out too on the show. Listen, if I had my pick of the five guys, Chris Bunch is making the cut of the three or so that I would want in the class. So I'm happy he's a part of it. It's just the fact that, okay, how much playing time down the road is there going to be for guys like Malik Brown and Peter Carey? That's all sort of the wait and see right now, but I'm excited for Chris Bunch. Syracuse has done a really good job with their wings lately too, and hopefully Chris Bunch is next in line.
Well, I think this is a class that has five guys that are probably going to be here for 3 to 4 years, which I've talked a lot about. That's how you win championships, in my opinion, is you build up guys that have been there. They learn the 2-3 zone. They learn our offensive system, not that it's awfully complex, but still you just get familiarity with playing with one another, and continuity is a big thing and their chemistry improves. And that's why I'm relatively optimistic that this year's team might actually be decent, although they are incorporating some new pieces. They've got a lot of upperclassmen, a lot of guys that have been around for a while, and that's the key to winning in college basketball. Chris Bunch is also another guy in this class that just looks like a Syracuse player. He's long, he's lanky, he's athletic. Yeah. It seems like maybe his man-to-man defense needs some work, but it definitely seems like he fits the bill of a guy that will work in the 2-3 zone. He's 6'7", 6'8". He's got a long wingspan. You can put him at that 3 or 4 position because it doesn't really matter in our 2-3 zone. And he's a pretty good bucket getter on the offensive end of the floor as well. Definitely has to improve a little bit and could probably bulk up. But where he's at right now, I think he'll continue to rise in this class, and I think he's going to be a 3-4-year guy that fans are really going to love.
And that's what I want to see. I want to see some bucket getters because that's the way everything's trending. And I think you're going to see that this season. Are there going to be frustrating losses this season? Yeah. But there's going to be games that you're not supposed to win that you go out and pick up W's against. Teams like Duke or Carolina, Virginia, Florida State. Syracuse is going to win a couple of those games that they probably, quote unquote, shouldn't. And it's because they have guys that can get buckets. And that's something that Chris Bunch brings to the table here. That's why I'm excited for him. Again, he's the best player in this class, a class that is all the way up to 10. Is it going to finish at 10? Probably not. It'll probably, when all things are said and done, it'll probably be around the, what, 17 to 20 range, I'd imagine.
I think it'll be like 14, 15. But, I mean, it's at a pretty late stage here. And they've got five solid guys. Like, they're all, I mean, not all of them are
it's
top 200.
It's definitely one of those classes that's built by quantity as opposed to quality, for sure. And that doesn't mean there aren't quality guys. It's just when you have five guys in a class, it certainly builds up the cachet of the class and the rating and all that stuff.
Yeah, but I looked back at 2019, the last time they had five guys. That was ranked like 33rd in the country. I do think that, if anything, they're going to go down in the rankings from this point forward just because other teams are going to add commits. But I don't see them dropping outside the top 15, and this would be the first class inside the top 20 since 2016, which, I mean, that's a long time now. It feels like it wasn't that long ago that we had that Tyus Battle class, but there's been several classes now. And I guess like the Benny class was ranked really poorly last year because it was just one guy. Sort of goes to what you're saying, where when you have quantity there, it definitely helps the ranking. But this is continuing a trend of getting back to where they were in recruiting. I don't think this is some unbelievable class. If it was top five, top 10, if they had JJ Starling, then I think it'd be a different conversation. Mm-hmm. And it probably was dreamed to be a better 2022 class. At one point you had Kamari, at one point you had Dior. But I really like this class because it's those 3 to 4 year guys that I think they really should focus on targeting.
It would be nice, though, to have the stud, right? Like you mentioned, Kamari and Dior, and maybe if you'd gotten the Zion Cruz or the Chance Westry, one of those guys who could really take this thing over the top. And I saw you put a poll out on our account at @LO_Syracuse. What grade would you give it? And I voted on it. I gave it a B+, because I think that's what at the end of the day, because you don't have a star. Now, can somebody develop into that star? Yeah, but on paper right now, when you grade classes across the country at the current moment, because all you have to work off of is high school tapes and paper, it's a B+ right now, okay? It's not something over the top because you don't have that top 50 level guy, but it's also not lackluster. You got three comfortable guys between that 70 to 140-ish range that I think you should feel good about. And not only that, but they're going to fill needs for this team down the road.
Right, and I do think that the fact that they got one guy at each position is really awesome. By the way, that poll, we said A, B plus, B minus, C were the four options for the 2022 class. 59% are with us, B plus. That's the majority.
Yeah, you weeded out the trolls. Getting 20. No Fs, no Ds for this class.
Well, you couldn't. I mean, we only got 3.1% for C.
Now,
yeah.
If I were to change the question, given what you thought this class was going to be on, let's say what? I don't remember the exact date Dior committed, but let's say February 28th of 2020.
When we started the bot, right?
Pretty much, yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'll say February 28th, 2020. You know what? I'll say February 29th, because guess what? That was a leap year. How is the class? Did it live up to your expectations? I guess is what I'm trying to ask. And if you were to grade it off of that.
I never really got to the point that I think some of the fan base did, and we joked about that, but it's a class. Look, if we didn't have Kamari, if we had Kamari Lance, we wouldn't have gotten Chris Bunch, right? That's the way I look at it. So
would you have taken that trade, Kamari for Chris Bunch?
I mean, it's not like no, but at the same time, Chris Bunch could be better than Kamari, and it wouldn't shock me. There was a point
right
in time
now,
where shortly
right
after
now,
Kamari decommitted, though, Bunch was a higher ranked guy than Kamari for a little bit. And then Kamari has since gone up, and Bunch went from 58th to 72nd on 24/7 Sports, which I think they have the best ratings year in and year out.
By the way, did you see everyone's committing on CBS Sports HQ now? I saw Chris Bunch. I saw there was like a UNC football player that committed today. This is something that they need to dive into, or money-making opportunity for us here, Tim. Dedicate a network 24/7 high school commits. Like,
there's not even any anticipation anymore, though. I didn't even really watch. I mean, you already know where these guys are going. But I agree. Like, it's cool that they're doing it on CBS Sports. 24/7
commitments. You just roll them out. And then from, midnight to like 8 a.m., guess what? You just get like the reruns of the best, like Cliff Alexander picking the wrong hat up off the table or something like that. You just get the best of the best, or recaps of whatever. But I think that that's a money-making opportunity there. You sell 30-minute blocks to all these different commits for them to just put on whatever sort of show they want, and you go from there. You get tipped and edits involved here. Like, you got something. Sure. This is a money-making opportunity here.
Yeah, there's already that connection between CBS and 24/7 Sports. Mm-hmm. So I did like how when they – I watched bits and pieces of it, and they said one Syracuse, if they were to get Chris Bunch, they would jump from 14 to 10, which was nice to know because usually that takes some time. But they have updated on the 24/7 Sports.
They put Malik Brown in there. I saw Peter Carey finally got a picture.
Yes. I mean, Malik Brown has been added. Is he in the class yet? Yeah, so they're getting up to speed here.
All right.
I mean, 10th in the country, like, that's nothing to sneeze at. I know it probably is a little inflated based on the five guys, but you look at other classes that, like, UNC's class has no five stars. They're a little ahead of Syracuse. It's not every day that you get a five star. We got Benny, who was basically a five star last year. I think we're trending in the right direction recruiting wise. And there's
think
a lot
about it too
to be
this way.
About.
And last basketball thought here, and we'll move on to football. But this might be the last class that gets 4 years of Jim Boeheim.
Yeah, that's a good point. Wow.
This might be it.
Which, if they could get 2 years. They could get the, you know, if you stayed for five, you might get them. We don't really know.
They might
know
be on his staff
stage,
one day. But... Who knows? Who knows how long he's going to stay?
Exactly. All right. Well, want to remind you guys that we're going to get into the Tommy DeVito stuff in just a second. Lot to get to on that front. But this episode is brought to you by McDonald's. Again, proudly serving communities since 1965. McDonald's has always been more than just a place to get tasty, affordable food. It's a place where friends and family can come to reconnect, a place where classmates can meet up for a study group, knowing they'll have dependable Wi-Fi and endless supplies of French fries and McFlurries. Love their French fries. Win or lose, it's a place where teammates, competitors, the home team or the away team can come to recharge. It's the place you always look forward to stopping at on a long road trip to rest your legs and refuel. That is very true. Every time I take a road
nothing
trip,
like the Golden Arches, man. Listen, yeah, we took just, our fair share of road trips in college. When you see those Golden Arches, you're pulling off the side of the highway. How about Erie Boulevard, too? You got one on each side. One going, what do they go, east and west? One going east, one going west. And you knew that there's always a McDonald's within sight.
Yeah, definitely our fair share of times where I called you at like 11:30 on a weeknight in college, and I was like, McDonald's, you in? And we went from there. We never said no to that. We always went. So head to your local McDonald's to refuel and reconnect. And did somebody say Locked On Syracuse watch party? You can do that at McDonald's as well. McDonald's, ooh. I'm loving it. And Ty, if you want to sing the jingle, they say in the ad copy, we can sing the jingle. All right, so Tommy DeVito, Syracuse.com article comes out. I don't even know where to start with this. I mean, first off,
are you surprised
Heisman
that this is out already?
Yeah, right. So the Heisman stuff is at the beginning, how he thought of, and I got a kick out
of
that.
I
want
the big one. You know whose voice I read that in? I read that in Jonathan Hoppe's voice, our buddy Jonathan Hoppe. I want the big one, man.
That's good. That probably connected with our six friends that are listening from college, but I think it was still worth it. Okay, there's the injury stuff as well, where he's playing through injury. He says he kind of has some PTSD if he even gets hit in that rib area because he was taking shots.
Hit,
and he'd have
touched in that area.
Yeah, and he gets touched. Sorry. That's good. Thanks for correcting. Yeah, it's that angle to it. It's the I'm getting some looks from SEC schools angle. What else is in there? I can't even keep track. There's like five or six things that were noteworthy.
How about the negligence from Dino Babers? I think that was my biggest takeaway when he talked about, all right, this is the stuff I want to install in the offense. This is the stuff that I think will make me effective as a quarterback. You could tell that he was not happy with the way that the offensive line was constructed over his time at Syracuse as well. And as a result of that, they installed some more rollouts and designed rollouts to move the pocket, shift it outside. So there's the stuff with his old high school center, who is now since
that
gone on
really
to be an all SEC guy. The Michigan offensive line, I can't remember if it was Michigan transfers or guys who have transferred
just
and are now at Michigan.
Yeah. I don't know who they were, but would have been nice to have them probably.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like he wanted an offensive line, right? I mean, you talk about the PTSD of getting touched in the ribs. He had PTSD anytime he had to drop back in the pocket. when he was at Syracuse. And I think you saw the toughness and everything that it was. I went back and read some of the tweets. They came across my timeline today of what Trill was saying, what Andre Sisco was saying, what Clayton Welch was saying, the toughness of Tommy DeVito. I think we got an inside scoop of what went down in the training room with him and how big of a struggle it was for him to get ready for every game day.
Right. And first off, shout out to Nate Mink for getting this article, because I thought, I mean, several things in here that I wasn't aware of.
Are we giving him a point? Let's give him a point. This is a point.
He gets
like,
course.
You know what? Give him two. We're giving him two.
All right. Two scoops right, points like for Nate. So the part that bugged me the most, I think, was the fact that all SEC center, who I don't really even know who he was, and I haven't taken the time to look it up, been kind of busy today, but in general, like, whoever it was, if he panned out to be all SEC center good, then that's a miss on the coaching staff to not inquire, not bring him, whatever.
Yeah, and listen, it takes two to tango, right? There's no saying that all these guys that DeVito was pushing across the desk of the coaching staff were going to come and play at Syracuse, okay?
Right.
So, but if there was negligence, and maybe we'll find out later on, of, oh, they didn't even reach out to these guys. They didn't even give a real effort towards getting a beefed up offensive line for Tommy. Then it comes down on Dino. I said the other day when we were talking about, did Dino fail Tommy? I'm in that camp. Now, Dino's going to have a chance to respond to everything that came out in this article from Nate Mink, right? That's just the way it's going to be. Whether it's going to be on Saturday after the game or Monday at his press conference, he's going to have to face the music at some point. And I think we've seen Tommy DeVito, he's landing his opening blow. Dino, you're next, all right? But I'm just going to say this. Tommy's two or three laps around the track ahead of Dino right now in terms of what the true story is. And listen, it probably meets somewhere in the middle on all of this. I'm sure Dino's got plenty of ammunition that he might not even use in this case. But right now, it is a hefty head start in the camp of DeVito.
Yeah, I'm curious, what did Dino think reading this article? Because he had glowing reviews about how mature Tommy was and how much he's tied to the hip with him and how much he's going to miss him basically on Monday. Did he consider this article as sort of him backstabbing him a little bit? Or was it just, that's kind of how it went down and Tommy had a bad end of the straw here and he understands that? Matt Park did kind of open up the coach's show asking, like, anything to share on the Tommy DeVito situation that you haven't already shared. And he was like, no, I think everything that has been out there is already out there in the papers that we said, everything. So I don't know if he was really hurt by this article or not, but there is some stuff in here that I think definitely riled up the fan base. And it'll be curious to see if people, a reporter after the Virginia Tech game on Monday, like, it's kind of tough timing now because there's no opportunity to talk to him until after the game. So I hope that someone does ask him about it.
Well, someone in the press conference better have the name tag CO Jones on it, because I mean, seriously, this, you cannot shy away from this right here. I mean, what if Dino is not hurt by this? That means he's been doing his job wrong. That means he didn't reach out to a bunch of those offensive linemen. He didn't do enough to address the problems that were facing this team and ultimately plaguing DeVito and his ability to become the quarterback that this entire program, this entire fan base wanted him to be. If Dino's not hurt by this article, then everything in there is probably true. And if everything in there is true, that is coaching malpractice and he should not be the head coach at this university.
Yeah, so I guess what I mean is, do you think he read that and thought, oh, that's like DeVito's exaggerating? Or was he just like, yeah, that's fine. Like, that's kind of how it went down. That's the question that we'll never know the answer to. But either way, like, even if this stuff is half true about the way that he was playing through injuries, and it makes you feel for the guy. It makes you understand what he went through.
Is all true, given what we've seen, the testimonials from the players that have talked about his toughness. And that's not something that I think you make up either.
Yeah, and it was obvious too. I remember I was really around the team in 2019. That was my senior year. And I'm going to a lot of the games, calling them for the WAR, the student radio station. That was a year that you could tell. And I remember that game. I think it was the Albany game or Holy Cross,
Holy Cross,
where he gets that rib injury. And he left the game early, and then you probably remember we were at the NC State game. That's that really sticks in my mind, where he went down on a couple sacks. Yeah, you could tell. He went down gingerly, and you knew he was playing through something. I guess we didn't know it was this serious or how serious it ever got to, But I don't know. It just makes me feel for DeVito. It seems like it was a string of bad luck. The injuries definitely didn't help things. And that chart that him and his family showed Dino, where he's the least supported quarterback in the country, it makes you think maybe he will succeed somewhere else. And I hope he does.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like he's going to go to a power five based on.
And he said he's open to going to a lower school. So I wouldn't shock me either.
I would guess he goes to a power five. I think if it was sort of up in the air, now again, he only has the 1 year of eligibility. So it's sort of a fragile situation where you're not allowed to miss here if you're Tommy DeVito. But I'd imagine he goes power five. And I'd imagine as long as he finds the right offensive line situation, which let's be honest, I think offensive line situation is going to be 95% of the calculus for his decision. If he finds the right O-line situation, he'll succeed.
Yeah, I'd still probably guess non-power five, but I think he's going to be very successful at a non-power five if he goes there. And I don't know anything. I mean, it could be power five. We'll see. All right, before we get into the prop shot picks, and then we're going to pick this game against Virginia Tech, give you some of our thoughts on that before they kick off on Saturday. We got our guy Anthony DeBundo, who does our DeBundo's Digits for us every single week, an analytical breakdown of this week's matchup. Here's Anthony DeBundo from the Action Network.
The numbers you need to know. Anthony DeBundo breaks down the biggest stats for this week's Syracuse matchup. Stats, everybody. DeBundo's Digits. If you ain't taking stats, kick the out the class. On the Locked On Syracuse podcast.
A season that started with a lot of promise for the Hokies after an upset win against North Carolina in the opening week has gone downhill quickly. Bill Connolly's SP Plus projections rate Virginia Tech and Syracuse as similar teams, with the Hokies at 52nd and the Orange at 58th in his ratings. The Hokies' issues begin on offense, where they are 116th out of 130 teams in offensive success rate. That's 2020 Syracuse level offensive numbers for the Hokies. They're terrible in the red zone, they lack explosive plays, and they rank outside the top 100 in both of those metrics. This is an opportunity for the Syracuse defense to really dominate this game. The Orange continue to have an above-average defense across the board, especially when it comes to producing havoc, and the VT offense is pretty mediocre at preventing havoc. The Orange should be able to limit big plays, as they've done all year, and force VT to produce long drives. Syracuse defense hasn't been great at getting off the field in passing downs. They rank just 72nd. But VT hasn't been good at keeping drives alive once they fall behind the chains. And VT is 117th in rushing efficiency, so they're probably going to be in a lot of passing downs in this game. Something has to go wrong in the numbers for Syracuse to allow the Hokies to consistently move the ball or generate big plays. But as we shift to the other side of the matchup, the VT defense is an underrated unit. They still have some matchups that Syracuse can exploit, though. If you thought Garrett Schrader struggled last week passing, which he did, this week isn't going to be any better. VT is 15th best against the pass in the country and 12th lowest in passing success rate. Tech is a little worse when it comes to passing explosiveness, but Syracuse without Taj Harris isn't really built to take advantage of that with its current receiving group. Unless Trevor Pena wants to break another 60-plus yard touchdown, which I really don't see happening. But the Hokies are mediocre in stopping the run. This sets up for another huge Sean Tucker game. The Hokies are 100th in run defensive efficiency and 112th in rushing explosiveness allowed. Tucker is almost definitely going to break a long run at some point in this game. The Orange, 21st in rushing explosiveness. Big edge there for Syracuse. To recap, Syracuse has the edge in havoc created and allowed on both sides of the ball. It has the edge in explosiveness on both sides of the ball. And its run offense matches up really well with the Virginia Tech defense. If for some reason Garrett Schrader is forced to beat Virginia Tech, it probably won't go well for the Syracuse offense. But the Orange should be able to keep the ball on the ground as much as possible and play good defense. The defense should be able to limit a VT offense that has been trending in the wrong direction for weeks. And while I know that Dino Babers has been rightly criticized by myself, Locked On Syracuse, and others across Twitter and the media for his decision-making and game management late in games, that's all correct. There is an element of randomness and luck to close football games. The Orange have had very little of it this year. They are due for a bounce or two to go their way. If this game is close late, which the bookmakers think it will be, I'd like SU's chances to pull out a result here, move to 7-1 against the spread, and maybe even get back to 500 as they chase a bowl game down the stretch here.
All right, thanks to Anthony DeBundo. You can check out his work over at the Action Network. I'm sure he's deep in baseball season right now. Seems like he likes Cuse a little bit, which is good to hear him.
How about that? Optimistic. Virginia Tech, just like the 2020 Syracuse offense. Kind of true. I mean, we laid it out a little bit yesterday on the show, but they can hit the home run ball. But outside of that, not a lot for this this Virginia Tech offense.
And they're not really hitting the home run ball passing or rushing wise. They are a little bit passing, but rushing, they've been completely stymied. We'll get into more of that in just a little bit. Want to remind fans that betonline.ag is back and better than ever. A new web interface for the start of basketball season. More props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all basketball and football action this season. Head on over to their new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code LOCKEDON, all one word, to get you a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Got basketball, football, baseball, postseason, NHL, boxing, UFC, all going on right now. I think it was the sports equinox tonight as of us recording the first one of the year. Got all the four major sports. So good time to be betting. Going over to Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. Bet Online, where the games start.
Hey, Built Bar is the best protein bar out there. Best tasting, best quality, tons of health benefits. You've heard Tim and I talk about it for months now. And if you haven't tried a Built Bar by now, you're missing out. They say it's a protein bar, but it does not taste like one. You have to try one of these amazing protein bars for yourself to believe that they taste just like a candy bar. Most protein bars are chalky or waxy or just plain hard to choke down, but a Built Bar is soft, covered in 100% real chocolate, and when you bite into it, you know you're eating something different. It's more of an experience and one that you'll enjoy. In fact, you'd swear you're eating a candy bar. Built Bars are low carb, low calorie, low fat, low sugar, and high in protein. So all the healthy benefits on top of just being purely delicious. And they come in a plentiful amount of flavors. Another great thing about Built Bar, all of the mouthwatering flavors, including coconut, raspberry, mint brownie, coconut almond. You know what Tim and I love, the peanut butter brownie. Mm-hmm. And this month, Built is coming out with new limited time flavors every 3 to 4 days. So check their website often because you don't want to miss out on this great opportunity. Go to Built.com, use the promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your order. Again, promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at Built.com.
All right, prop shop time now. Quick update on our records. I'm starting to chip away at it 1 week
at a
time.
Are you gnawing at the heels here?
It was an insurmountable deficit that has become surmountable, I guess. Is that a word? I don't even know. But you are up
now.
360 overall. It is now. And so up 360 overall, you're 24-20-1. I'm now 22-22-1 and down 150 overall. So I could hypothetically catch you this week. First three picks here are all from our friends at Prize Picks, which you can do yourself. You can go over to their daily fantasy site right now, and these are the lines they are providing. The first one we have, Garrett Schrader, over-under in passing yards, set at 167.5. What do you like for that?
I like Garrett Schrader to go under this number. I just think it's going to be too heavy of a rushing attack in this game for him to feasibly do that. He hasn't had success throwing the ball down the field. And I just don't think that this Virginia Tech team is going to defensively pose some problems, especially in the passing game. So I'm going to lean with the under of 167.5.
All right. I was pretty torn. I'll take the over just to try and catch up on you, but I think you're right. It's going to be a tough over to achieve there. Sean Tucker over under. This is always a fascinating number to see what Prize Pick sets it at. This week, pretty high, 118.5 against a good Virginia Tech rush D, but I mean, he's probably hit the over on Prize Picks, I would imagine, like every single time, except for maybe the Rutgers game.
That's
the only time
he's
been under 100, and a lot of fans have talked about it, but it was mostly because he just didn't get a ton of carries in that game. You would think they'll go to him early and often here. If he stays healthy, I think he will go over, and I just can't pick under against the guy. He keeps hitting the overs.
I mean, I think this is going to be a 70-30 run-to-pass distribution in this game. I think it's going to be run. And try to just absolutely beat them down, death by 1,000 paper cuts against Virginia Tech. And for that reason, I think Tucker is going to go over. He can hit the splash plays. He can hit the 20-yard rushes, the 30-yard rushes. So I'm gonna roll with the over. There's no reason to not at this point with Sean Tucker.
As for Virginia Tech, their running back, their top back is Raheem Blackshear. His over-under on Prize Picks, 44.5. Very low because Justin Fuente is a big by-committee guy. I guess last year they had Khalil Herbert. They kind of rode him. He's now with your Bears, right? Khalil Herbert. They're
playing well. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
He's going to be the starting back this weekend against Tampa Tom. Your guy.
Oh, really? Okay. Well, so last year, I mean, this was their offense. They were the top rushing attack in the ACC. This year, not so much. They haven't had a single guy this year, one player, get to 60 yards rushing in any game this season. I'm going to take the under on Blackshear just because I think Syracuse has a legit good defense, and they just seem to try and rotate by committee as much as possible.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a low number. It's such a low number that it almost scares me to take the under here because, I mean, one play and this thing could be toast, right?
Right.
So leading back, I know it's by committee like you mentioned there, but I'm going to go over. Again, it's the number, not necessarily the player here. So I'm going to take the over 44.5.
Yeah, they haven't had a 30-yard rush all season long as well. All right, so getting into now our favorite part of the show where we actually pick the game on Saturday here. The current line over at betonline.ag that you can bet on right now. Syracuse, 3-point dogs on the road. It's a field goal right now. Over-under set at 46. We'll start with picking the game. I'm kind of with DeBundo. I think the more I looked into Virginia Tech, didn't scare me that much. Watching back the Pittsburgh game last week, granted it was a really ugly performance, but it seems like Burmeister might be hurt a little bit. He's not doing much at the quarterback position. They just don't have as much talent or as much deep talent as they normally do. The part that does scare me about this game is a couple things. One, they're hungry. Two, they have not lost three games in a row at home in like forever, and this would mark three in a row at home. But I'm going to ride with Syracuse here. I think after a lot of close games, I really hope it's not another close one because I probably can't take it. But I think they're playing better than Virginia Tech right now.
And fitting that the line is set at 3, right? I mean, yeah. That's the only margin of any game that this team plays the past. So I guess Vegas is just tired of getting burned by that number 3. So I'm going to go with, I'm going to take Virginia Tech here to cover. I like a 20-14 game in favor of the Hokies here. Syracuse, and this stat courtesy of our guy John Eads over at Orange Fizz. He does fantastic work there on the football side of things. Syracuse is 1-8 versus Coastal Road opponents since joining the conference. They beat Duke in 2019. That's the lone victory that this program's had against the Coastal in a road setting. And I think that's important for a couple reasons here. First of all, it's a team that you're not familiar with. You only get them every three or so years. And when you have that lack of familiarity, that comes down to coaching. And I don't trust this coaching staff right now. Not enough to pick Syracuse in a game like this. And I think it's going to come down to a rock fight. Really, whichever quarterback in this game plays quarterback better will win. And what I mean by that is I don't care about any of the rushing stuff, okay? Because we've seen Syracuse rack up over 300 yards on the ground and still lose a football game this season. Whichever quarterback plays quarterback better is going to win the game. And I trust Braxton Burmeister as much as it pains me to say this, because he is not a good quarterback. But I listen, it was going to be a shot at whoever I said in this situation, but I trust him more to throw the football than I do Garrett Schrader.
All right. So you're going under, I'm assuming.
I'm
going to
go
on your
under
score
as
there.
Well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm going to ride under too. I'm going to say 16-10. Syracuse finally gets a win. I hope I'm right. I hope I didn't just jinx it. I just think it's going to be an ugly game.
This team only scores touchdowns. That's why I gave them 14. Like, field goals are out of the equation. Another interesting thing here, I looked at some of the third down numbers. Syracuse right now is 13th in the ACC and 100th in the country in third down offense, converting at a 35% clip right now. And that largely comes down to quarterback play, because a lot of these third downs that you're not converting are going to be third and fives to third and sevens, and it's going to be, can your quarterback complete those plays, make those plays on third down? Syracuse doesn't have one. I don't think Virginia Tech has one either, but I like their chances a little bit more than I do with Syracuse's quarterback.
Yeah. Maybe I'm going 16-10, just assuming there's at least one missed extra point there.
Or safety.
That's right. That's the 3D chess I'm playing. Now, I actually just thought of that score randomly. But yeah, 16-10 is what I'm rolling with. I hope I'm right, and I hope you guys enjoy the game as always. Thank you for making Locked On Syracuse your first listen every single weekday. It's been a lot to talk about this week. It's been a fun week on the pod. Hopefully we keep it going. Basketball season kicking off. next Wednesday with the exhibition game. So it's a good time to subscribe right now. We are free and available wherever you get your podcasts. Also, check out Locked On ACC with your second listen today. Get ready for the ACC football slate this weekend with Candace Cooper over there. They do a great job. But that is going to do it for our Friday podcast. Enjoy the game, and we'll talk to you guys on Monday.